This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so Syracuse beat San Diego State and then West Virginia. And once again, Jim Boeheim has his team in the Sweet 16. They'll be playing Saturday night against the second-ranked Houston team. And the coach of Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, is on with us here on the show. Coach, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
Well, I'm a lot smarter this month than I was last month. That's all I can tell you.
You know what? It has a lot to do with your kid. I think it's such an incredible story. It's almost like a lifetime movie story, and you never show your emotions that much, but I think it's such a beautiful thing that this kid, who obviously cares so much about his dad and has helped lead his dad to the Sweet 16. I mean, is there a moment that you get choked up thinking about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's a great kid, which is the best part of the story. I think he was rated 320th in his high school class. And, you know, obviously we knew he was better than that. But he had played the summer circuit, the Nike circuit, and still wasn't rated. But, you know, we liked him, but he just has worked his way into this. I mean, he lifts, he works, he's worked out for 6 years with our strength coach. He works out on the weekends, he shoots at night. And when he goes down to shoot, he doesn't shoot for a half hour, he shoots for an hour and a half on a machine, on a gun. You know, he's made himself into this player, and we're pretty glad because he's kept us in there. And I think the other guys have picked it up, and we're playing, you know, by far the best we've played all year. It's not even close offensively. And defensively, I think we're a little better, but it's our offense that's really got us so far here, you know, at the end of the year. It's really been our offense. Everybody talks about our defense, but, you know, when you shoot 50% from the three as a team, you're going to beat a lot of people.
Does Buddy feel pressure that you're his dad? Do you think that drives him so he doesn't look like he's the teacher's pet?
You know, in the beginning, in growing up, I had two sons. Jimmy never worried about any pressure. He just went out and played and took shots, never thought about it. And Buddy always worried about it. And, you know, Buddy's probably been a better shooter for a long time, but Jimmy thinks he's a better shooter. So, you know, and part of playing any sport is confidence. And, you know, Buddy's starting to get that now. He's starting to get that. He's pretty much there now. Jerry talked to him at halftime the other day and just said, hey, you know, you got to keep shooting. And, you know, he's working with the best, you know, two guard that we've ever had as far as shooting the basketball. So, you know, he's going to listen to that. And he went out in the second half and just turned it around and, you know, got us another game in this tournament. And that's all you try to do when you get here. You just try to win the game you're playing. And all of a sudden, you know, you're someplace. You don't need a long winning streak. You know, you need two to get to the Sweet 16, then you need two more to get to the Final Four. So, we're capable of it now, but we certainly weren't a month ago, and it's fun to see a turnaround like that. It's just for the players. I mean, we got beat 20 points at Pittsburgh and Clemson and Virginia, and, you know, that's unusual to come back from that big a beating. You know, you can lose by 6 or 8 on the road, no big deal, but when you get beat that badly and you can still turn around and come back, and, you know, I mean, these guys, they really deserve it. They, like everybody, we've struggled all year long. We're glad just to be playing that the NCAA figured this out. It's just a blessing that everybody's been able to play, and everybody in college basketball seems to be really healthy. Even the kids, I mean, most kids had COVID sometime this year. I had it. And most of the guys, everybody's healthy. So, we're very fortunate to be in this position, Michael. I mean, to be playing in the Sweet 16, 20 years ago, you expected to go to the Sweet 16. There just weren't that many good teams. But now, anybody can beat you, and you better really play well or you're going to be out of this tournament.
I'm always fascinated by how well your team play zone and how you stay dedicated to it. And we had on your friend Rick Pitino yesterday. He said, that's Jim's thing. And I said, but why isn't it more coaches' thing? Why don't more coaches do it?
Well,
I don't get it.
It's a good question. The reason is that everybody's been a man-to-man player and coach his whole life. Mm-hmm. And that's what they know. So you get a job, that's what you're going to do. And to switch over, and what some coaches try to do is play a little zone in practice, you know, 10 minutes a day. You're going to have a bad zone is what you're going to have. So, you know, to commit to it all the way, coaches aren't going to do that. And, you know, Rick is one of the few coaches that played a lot of zone very well, but he also played man-to-man. That's very hard to do. I used to do that, but we're all zone now. But
do you practice man-to-man at all, Jim?
Yeah, a little bit, because we want to help our man-to-man offense. So, yeah, we do, and okay. We work on it to get our man-to-man offense better. But, you know, you talk about Ricky, him and John Thompson, the only two guys I've ever seen that could do both. Play man and zone. Of course, John practiced 6 hours a day back in the day when you could. But, you know, Rick's he's a great coach. I mean, he can coach anyone in the country. In 3 years, they'd be in the Final Four, but people aren't smart enough to figure that out, I guess. All these people that run college and university, I guess they're not quite that smart. Like, as smart as they're supposed to be, I guess.
Now, you mentioned not playing as well a month ago. How much was that COVID-related?
Just a little bit. I mean, Buddy and hurt his shooting. Joe Girard, they both had it. And I think it hurt their shooting. Buddy was shooting 27% after 15 games. And, you know, he's not that kind of shooter. So since then, he's up shooting 45% from the three of the last, about 10 games, I guess, or more. I can't even think of how many games we played now, 10, 12 games. So, they had a little bit to do with it. Our defense got better. We started using our big center and our big forward a little bit more off the bench. I think that helped us. Kadari Richmond, our freshman point guard, has really matured. He's really one of the better young point guards in the country, and people haven't seen it as much yet, but he's right there. So we've got a deeper team, a bigger team, and a little bit better defensive team right now than we had in the middle of the year. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's being in this tournament is such a unbelievable feeling. And you look around at Oregon State. A month ago, they couldn't beat the next-door neighbor. And now they're in the Sweet 16. It's you can turn it around, and then you can go the other way. San Diego State had won 14 straight games in the Mountain West, which was good this year. And, you know, they're out of it. I mean, it's just a crazy thing the way this tournament goes. You know, there's a couple great teams. Obviously, Gonzaga is ahead of everybody, and then Baylor and, you know, Alabama and Michigan are pretty close. But, you know, Gonzaga is still there. They're still the team to beat. But like anybody in college basketball, they're beatable. One of the most impressive displays I've seen is Loyola of Chicago. I mean, Illinois was arguably the second or third best team in the country, and Loyola just, you know, took them apart. They just played great basketball, and they're in our bracket as well as Houston. So there's nothing going to be easy the rest of the way, but if you're still playing, you have a chance, and that's what we talk about, and that's what our players are thinking about right now.
Now, you've won a national title. You've been to Sweet 16s. Does this mean more because your son's involved, because you're older now? I mean, does this mean more than the other ones?
Well, the older part doesn't matter, but my son being involved matters. The fact that we were so far out of it, we weren't even in the bubble. We weren't even near the bubble at one time this year. So that is really satisfying. And the other thing is, 20 years ago, you took the Sweet 16 for granted. You were a pretty good team. You had to go to the Sweet 16. Now you have to fight to get there. I mean, no matter who you are, and you look around the country and you see teams like Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke and Kansas, you know, they're gone. I mean, that never happened before. So it's college basketball is undergoing a big change with all these transfers going to be moving around and balancing out kind of talent around the country. It's going to be tough to stay on top and be on top. It's good in a way for college basketball because you see the tournament like this, this is fun to watch. These games have been fun to watch, and you see some teams come out of nowhere that are really good teams, and I think it's good for our game, and I think it's going to even get better. I think the transfer thing's crazy. I mean, you got starters in the transfer portal, and you know, so I mean, it's just a different world we're getting to. And when the NIL comes in, I'm all for it. Players are going to benefit from it, but it's going to be crazy. It's going to be players are going to have agents in college figuring out what app they can be on and which billboard they can be on. And I don't think people realize. I mean, it's a nice theory, say kids should get the money, but when it gets into practice, it's really going to be crazy to watch. I really think so.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, you've got to explain this to me, Jim.
Yep.
Syracuse under you is 9-2 as a double-digit seed in the tournament. How do you explain that? Is it because you guys are playing with less pressure, or did they just undervalue you guys? Why?
I must have just probably did a bad coaching job during the year, and now it took a while for the players to overcome that, I guess. No, you know, I honestly, you know, we've done this three times. It's hard. I mean, maybe once you sneak through, but the last three times we've been a high seed, we just played really good basketball. I mean, you know, the coaches did a great job getting the players ready, and the players did a great job thinking they're going to win. And, you know, we've beaten some really good teams. I mean, to get to the Final Four, Virginia, one of the better Virginia teams I've seen, Gonzaga with Sabonis and those guys. And then Michigan State with, you know, they had two lottery picks on that team. And, you know, there's no real explanation. People credit our zone. I mean, our zone is helpful because people don't see a lot of zone. But it's our offense has been better in the tournament for whatever reason than it was during the regular season in those years. You know, you can play defense in the tournament, but to win in the NCAA tournament, you better score. If you don't score, you're not winning. You know, if Michigan's didn't go out and score 80 or 6 points or whatever it was yesterday against LSU, they're not winning that game. So it's a combination of both. And, you know, I'd much rather go into the tournament as a 2 seed.
Right.
Yeah, have a good year and get in there, but you know, we just put it together at the end of the year. And one year we didn't make it that I thought we were better than these other 3 years where we've advanced.
That's what I was going to ask you. How many times in those 9 wins did you feel like when you took the court, despite being a double-digit seed, you were better than the team you were playing?
I don't know if I ever really think that way. I just think let's figure out a way to win this game. I don't really, you know, I'm not setting odds or I'm not making bets or anything, so I don't need to figure out how much we can, whether we can win or not. I just have to figure out how we game plan and get ready to play teams. And, you know, sometimes you just never know. You just never know how your team's going to play. And, you know, when we upset Gonzaga, when we upset Virginia, they were 12 points ahead with 6 minutes to go, and we had little or no chance. So you try a desperation move, which is press, and we win. I mean, it's not a great coaching move. It's just like, look, this is desperation time. What are we going to do? So you try something, and, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter because you're going to lose the other way anyway. But, you know, we played Marek the other night with 12 minutes to go with 4 fouls because if we didn't, we're going to lose right then. So I'd rather have a chance and get ahead again and then hang on than to get behind. But, you know, you just go out to play and you think, you know, Every player, every team, every coach think they can win the next game. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You think there's a way to win, period.
Two quick questions before we let you go.
Yep.
Your son's name is Jackson Boeheim. It's just a great name. Why is he Buddy?
You know, his mother gives everybody a nickname. He's Buddy, Jimmy, JJ. Amy, Sissy, you know, all our, she gives all our friends nicknames. They all have nicknames.
What's your nickname?
Hey, you,
Bay.
It depends what mood she's in, and usually it's not. It's never Jim. Very seldom.
And I've got to tell you this thing before we let you go, and we wish you good luck on Saturday. You're kind of an inspiration for me because I had my kids at 52 and 54, and I always worried, gee, what kind of relationship am I going to have when I'm in my 70s? And to see you and your son and the relationship that you have, it gives me hope that it, you know, if I'm still around, that I'll have a good relationship.
The greatest thing that ever happened to me is to have kids then. You know, I mean, I did it the opposite way, but I mean, it's an unbelievable blessing to have. I had three babies within 18 months at 54 years old, 55 years old, whatever I think I was, maybe. Yeah, right around then. Wow. So it was unusual, but it was fun. And one of them is keeping me working, so that even makes it better, you know.
Excellent.
But let's just get the Yankees some pitching so we can win for one. We're due to win one again, all right?
Absolutely.
Let's do that, please.
Jim, good luck Saturday. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You got it. That's Jim Boeheim. So it comes from Mom. So Jackson is a cool name, but Buddy comes from Mom. And moms make the rules. 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk about it. Get involved in the conversation. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, Boeheim, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.